Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We have all watched, I think with a sense of awe, the protean events which have taken place in Moscow and the republics, and the enormous changes resulting from these events. In this volatile climate, then, I must conclude that we can only speculate on the future of Soviet fleet development and deployment.
Ah, oh, you're not gonna make me wear a rubber, are you?
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack episode... Hold on a second. Where did my spreadsheet go?
Trust me. We've done a lot of these.
My spreadsheet just totally crashed. What is this about,
it's
Google?
It's post 600. Oh, no. How about that?
Hold on.
It's more than 600.
It's more than 600, less than 700.
Well, Hollow Man was 600, right? So this is 602.
Four Patriot Games.
Four.
Four?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Are we counting Mission Impossible 3 times?
Hollow Man, 600 was Cocaine Bear. 601, Blood Simple.
Okay. There we go. All right.
I'm there now. Gosh dang it.
That's right. Stupid Cocaine Bear was the one, the opening song I had to do 600
times.
Proof
that we don't edit this podcast at all.
Yeah, no. Keep that in mind. The 600 is how many times you had to do your intro that day. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well done. Yeah. All right. Sorry, everybody. FilmSack 604 is today's episode, and we are here mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind for all those many episodes. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. You stole me Lucky Charms and shot me baby brother Dunaway.
Oops. Oh, hi. This week on FilmSack, we don't play no games when we go all patriot-like over at Paramount Plus while watching this explosive 2006 thriller featuring everybody's favorite CIA analyst slash family man turned unlikely British hero, God Save the Queen, and her inbred cousins, apparently, from the Irishman. Save them from the Irishman played by an Englishman. Good Lord, just knight me already. Anywho, I've been plotting my revenge all this week for a real or perceived wrong that was recently done to me and my family. Step one, call up DirecTV and request that they retask their satellites over Randy's house. And the guy on the phone was like, but that's so hard. And I was like, retask, I say. Well, after a few hours and surprisingly just a 1 year contract extension, I was able to enact step two. All Randy's channels are now the Sean Bean Network. 24 hours of Sean Bean getting whacked, impaled, and or beheaded. Step three, hijack Randy's hot tub cam. Oh, why are you crying, Randy? Sean Bean will be okay. Nope. Hot tub full of tears. My revenge is complete. Ibbit. Zoom and enhance. Wait. Why are Darth Vader, Mace Windu, and Han Solo having a dinner party? The odds of coincidence are quickly diminishing. Also, never tell me the odds.
Every possible reference in there. I love it. I love
as
it.
As many as I could.
Don't change.
Shove them in.
Never change. Also with us, Randy, he thinks that redhead, oh wait, I'm sorry. It's Randy. He thinks that redhead might be up to summit, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott, Brian.
Randy.
Good morning. All right. All right. Listen up. We're going to somehow get from Libya to the United States of America while all of the security forces between here and there are looking for us. and we're somehow going to get our hands on high-tech armaments and vehicles and rappelling equipment and stupid night vision, and then the three of us are going to assault a house that's surrounded by armed guards with only one man on the inside. He's the double agent. Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. We're going to do this as long as you remember these three important facts.
Oh, let me get a pen.
Number one,
all right.
When you approach a heavily guarded estate, you can just come right up on the beach. Professional guards trained and armed by the government would never see that. Number two, you can count on a highly decorated former Marine who fears for his life and the safety of his family to keep his home security guns unloaded. Hell, he'll probably win when you have the shells right next to the gun. Number three, always remember, if you have two identical boats and one takes off a good 2 minutes before the other, the second boat can easily catch the first, even with more passengers in the second boat. It's just a fact. Stop arguing. I said, stop. You want me to shoot your other knee?
Oh, no. No, I don't.
Oh, no, I like that one.
Yeah, that's the good knee. That's the knee I need. Get it? Need.
Need. Okay.
With the what we have here finally is Brian, you've been a very bad boy, Jeffrey Ibbett.
Oh, I have. I totally have. All right, here we go. See if you can predict this one. Which you can. Here we go.
Here we go. Can't wait.
There was a time when he was a special agent tracking down Russian submarines. But those days have gone, and he was sightseeing in London until he thwarted you Sinn Féin fiends. Down an octave. He'll use all his skills at Zoom Enhance. He has no equal. Cause you attacked his wife and she is pregnant with the sequel. Jack Ryan's gonna get you. He's been spying since he met you. Oh, Sean Bean, what will you do? Cause Jack Ryan's gonna get you. You're denying, but I'll bet you kick the bucket like you always do. Patriot Games.
Oh my god.
If we don't do Film Sack karaoke where we let people do their own and send them in, we're missing out.
That is amazing. That's maybe one of my favorites you've ever done. And also,
your confidence has grown.
I also have this thought. Yeah. Listen to this. So I get accused all the time of cutting off more than I can chew. You know, just, new project, a new thing. Let me do this.
Yeah.
And I think Brian has established a standard now that is really hard to back up from, you know?
I know. I don't even know what I'm going to do if I can't come up with a song some week and I'm like, oh, I'll just do the Bob Newhart phone call thing. It's like, oh, no, I can't. There's I can't go back.
Yeah, new levels of standards here.
When I stop doing the songs, I have to leave the show. It's the way it's going to have to be.
Yep. It's going
to
be rough.
Oh, gosh.
It's going to be a sad day on Sackland.
I have an unexpected sudden trivia question for Scott and Brian Dunaway.
Oh my gosh.
Because I'm going to say Liv Tyler, right?
Yeah. This is the sound it made.
Alicia Silverstone.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Get a Grip is the peak of my MTV viewing in my lifetime. When it came out, every song that came out, wow. And the trivia question for you is, you know, all of those videos starred Alicia Silverstone. Who was the jilted boyfriend in Crying? The first of the three Alicia Silverstone Aerosmith music videos.
Oh, right.
By the way, she was only 16 when they filmed Crying.
Right. So it was
a little weird.
That's way after Keanu Reeves' appearance on Paula Abdul's video, right? So it would have to be.
Yep.
Yeah.
And before Jason Priestley and.
Yeah. I was about to say, is it Freddie Prinze Jr.? He's kind of like in that
age group. That's not that bad, but no, it was not Freddie Prinze Jr.
No. Wow. I
could even answer this one.
Channing Tatum would be the only other person that, I could think of.
Yeah.
Liv Tyler was in one of them with Alicia Silverstone.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that.
They're running around breaking stuff.
I don't think she was the jilted lover.
No. No, but they were running around breaking shit in a store. That's
they were. Yeah. They were driving in a convertible Thelma and Louise style.
That's
and,
what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Then they just basically went on a messing up spree.
Yeah.
I'm messing up.
And then I remember seeing like Lord of the Rings and going, hey, that's that girl that done run around and broke all the shit with the other girl in that thing.
Crying yeah. was the music video where Alicia Silverstone gets a navel piercing and then suddenly the rest of the 90s were all women getting navel piercings.
Oh, that's right. Doesn't she do some sort of like Daredevil.
Yes, she jumps off a bridge at the end, and her boyfriend, played by Steven Dorff.
Oh my gosh!
Really?
Whoa.
Wow!
Bad like, vampire.
Look that up.
She's gonna die, and then you realize she's looking up, giving him the finger.
Bungee cable, and she's giving him the finger. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. As he deserved it. He's a vampire.
And then she awkwardly had to pull herself back up that bungee cable while he just sat there.
Well, another unintroduced yet person comes along and lowers her down.
Oh, that could be. It could be Liv Tyler.
A new boy.
As they get ready for their video.
Yeah.
It's the prequel.
You can't say Steven Dorff without me thinking of two things.
Yes.
Blade, bad guy in Blade.
Yeah. Blade, good in Blade.
And then the other thing is some movie, and I'm sorry to say this, and everyone's going to say, of course, this is what Scott remembers, but I saw some movie where his wiener was out.
It's great that you remember his wiener, but not the movie.
I don't remember it.
Saw the wiener.
I really don't. It was some kind of weird
Dorff effect.
It was some kind of dark, cyberpunky kind of weird movie, and he walked out in the room.
That, sounds like it was some kind of dork.
Yeah, it was a big dork. I have
Steven
to admit.
Dork.
Yeah, Steven Dork.
Was it SFW?
Maybe
that would make sense because
I don't know. I know it was really hardcore. It was meant to be like this moment of like, oh wow, he's really going hard.
Fear.com or something?
I just looked it up. It's Innocent Lies.
Is that the name of it?
I never heard of it.
I still don't remember. That was
and now Randy's going to get a bunch of penis enlargement things in his search engine.
Yep.
What do you mean now?
Now.
That's like constantly.
Yeah. Welcome to TikTok. Welcome to his algorithm.
I sometimes listen to AM radio. Jesus.
Whoa. That's cool.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome. Okay, I love it. Yeah.
I didn't mean to find a future Film Sack film, but available on Prime is a movie called Steel, where master criminal Slim Steven Dorff assembles a team of daredevils to pull off a succession of bank heists. Their getaway method for each robbery involves an extreme sport. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
From the 2002. I got to see it.
Okay.
It's like, 2002.
It's like somebody said, oh, Point Break. We could probably make that worse.
Yeah, right. Is that possible?
How are we getting out of here? How about some rollerblading? Extreme. Yeah,
might actually be possible. I saw him in something recently that I really liked him in, but I don't remember what the hell it was.
It was a TV series, wasn't it? Oh, because I think I saw it too.
Crap.
I like revisiting the movie Gate. Do you guys remember that when he was the Gate? We watched that on Film Site.
Did we watch that? Is the Johnny Depp thing? Was it?
No, Steven Dorff was in this when he was Glenn. It was.
I don't remember.
80s horror kind of film.
Old Henry? Is that?
Oh, Old Henry. That's it. He's great in Old Henry. He's a bad guy in Old Henry. Holy shit. He's good. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Randy.
Old. Look.
Patriot Games. We're not going to talk about
this. By the way, is this the quickest we've ever veered off of the movie?
Easily.
It's just evidence, Brian, that your song was that good.
Oh, that's right. That's how we got here.
That's how we started getting here, but I don't think it was entirely that fault. But it is. Okay, let's just mark the date. This is the quickest we got off the movie by far. Yeah.
Gotta be.
Yeah.
Gotta be.
We haven't even said what it is yet. Well, here, I'll let Fletcher tell you, okay? He'll explain. He knows. Here you go.
Patriot Games. When CIA analyst Jack Ryan interferes with an IRA assassination, a renegade faction targets him and his family for revenge.
Whoa.
Yes.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. That's
basically it. That's basically it. They don't really, that description doesn't describe all the standing around this movie does. There's a lot of it where there's nothing going
there's
on.
There's a lot of talking. I when I was younger, when this came out,
a younger man,
I didn't have the patience to watch this film. I sat and watched this. 92.
Yeah.
I just graduated high school. I tried to watch this at the theater and I was like, no, I'm bored.
What did you do? Leave or go to sleep? Or
I left. Yeah, I left.
Oh my gosh, you left
the film?
You
walked out of Patriot games. Okay, yeah. This is new information.
Your Johnny Mnemonic? Is that what this was for you?
Yeah. I was like,
holy shit.
The only other movie I've ever walked out on was The Thin Red Line. Also, boring. Okay. For my age.
Okay.
These two movies have a lot in common. Do you imagine now that you're older, you could sit and watch Thin Red Line?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I watched this, didn't I?
Yeah.
I didn't leave.
But you know, you're not wrong, because Hunt for Red October, and it could just be my memory of it, but it feels like it's got a lot more action, a lot more suspense. Like there's far less just standing around chatting, even though I think a lot of the movie, a lot of Hunt for Red October is standing around chatting.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this one does not feel as gripping.
I agree.
Yeah,
movie.
I feel the same way about, I feel like Clear and Present Danger, the follow-up to this in 94, had more gripping action type stuff.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. So I think this was a quieter one. This is the one that, according to the trivia, what's the author's name? Can I think of his name? Tom Clancy. Says he dissociated himself from the production after reading the first draft. He was like, I don't want to be involved in what they're doing to my shit.
And I get it. I read all these books back in the day, and you know, Tom Clancy books, especially the Jack Ryan books, they were all about the intrigue. They were all about the exchange of information and people traveling halfway around the world to meet up with somebody that they'd never met before. And this guy, it's not really great film stuff, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
This is I spent almost an entire movie waiting for them to say Patriot Games, and they never did.
And never did.
I'm not gonna play your Patriot Games.
I wish
Let's
they
have
would
a
have.
Drink in an Irish bar.
That's right. You belong in a museum, Irish man. I really thought they would too, because I actually kind of have a weird memory that they did. I thought it was a thing where it was called that, because it's like, hey, you know, we all think in '92 we are on the other side. They were trying to express that with Richard Harris's role and stuff, but we were on the other side of most of the problem over there.
Right.
And so it was now rebuild time, figure out common ground, all that stuff. And so, you know, this idea that there are still factions that we're ready to rock and like F this, we're not going to console this. We're just going to go crazy and blow everything up. That's all historically interesting, but I guess I wasn't expecting them to make such cartoons out of these Irish fighters. Yeah. Like they were so ridiculous. It felt like, in a way, it was like, well, you usually do this to the Middle East, so I guess this is par for the course for movies.
Right.
Because that's how it felt. All these guys were like cartoon versions of what the Irish Republican Army was, or what any of that conflict was. And it kind of pissed me off.
Yeah.
It was like annoying to me, because Irish, I like the Irish. They're nice.
They kind of distance themselves from trying to make too much of a statement by going, oh, this is a rogue faction of that.
Splinter Cell, name of another book.
Tom Clancy book. Yeah. Amazing series.
I found
the most
fascinating part that I felt like maybe was the core. I haven't read the book. The core of it, though, was the representation of 92. None of us had really seen war fought from a war room, right? Mm-hmm. So like now we're all used to the idea of attacking the enemy with a drone strike, and that, so surgical strike was fairly in this form was kind of new to audiences. So it was kind of fascinating to watch how that was portrayed, and you know, the real emotional toll that killing somebody remotely can kind of feel.
do you know who else is giant cartoons in this? Everybody who was British.
Everybody.
My gosh, dude.
Right.
The Queen's cousin. I loved him. He was such a, he was like the only comedy relief in this film.
Yeah, right. Like, Jeffrey, please bring me my thing. Jeffrey, do the other thing.
Jeffrey.
And then Jeffrey, I forgot Jeffrey was the mole until kind of toward the end.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't remember. I'm like, that's just another Englishman.
Well, you never would have found out, because you walked out of the
movie.
That's true. I'm talking about this time around.
But it's interesting, because so Harrison Ford obviously is in this. He replaced Alec Baldwin. Now, this I didn't know. I had to go read about it. I thought this was just like, oh, no, we're just doing a new run of this, and it's later in his life, so we got a new actor. But Alec Baldwin was slated to do it and backed out. He didn't want to do it. So they had to bump the age from 35, which was what Alec Baldwin was playing in Hunt for Red October, and bump it to putting Harrison Ford in his 50s. He would have been 50 or 52 here or something. and made the time jump and all that, which is part of why Clancy didn't like how they were treating the script, because they were trying to update it for time and all that.
Yeah, they absolutely just updated it. They flat out updated it.
Right.
Like, the book is about an assassination attempt on Charles and Diana.
Right.
And it was written in, you know, like 86 or something, right?
Right.
And so, like, you're making a movie several years later. They probably couldn't also needed to get, like, permission from the Crown, and they couldn't possibly. But, like, it's a big change. There's a huge update to change it from the, you know, the royals, you know, themselves to their minister for Northern Ireland or something. Yeah.
I guess I could understand why he'd be annoyed, you know.
Was this the vision of Philip Noyce? Was this the director? Was this his vision of how it should go? Or was this more like a studio thing where it's like producers?
I mean, he didn't write it. He just directed it. The gave Tom Clancy, of course, credit. He didn't write the screenplay, though. But W. Peter Liff and Donald E. Stewart did the thing. I don't know who they are. But
right.
Donald Stewart's on all of these movies. Hunt for Red October, Clear and Present Danger.
Oh, okay. So he's their guy on that stuff. Did he do the Affleck
script advisor for Tom Clancy, basically just like the go between dude for Tom Clancy to represent him so that he doesn't have to sit in every meeting? Just sit there and co write with whatever writer they get to do the screenplay.
I'm not going to another meeting. Forget it.
It didn't feel like the movie necessarily had a vision. I think I liked the movie overall this time around much more than I would have when I was a kid, because there's a lot of elements that were, you know, fascinating to me.
I like slow burn spy stuff. I'm a fan of that, but I feel like this was just, I feel like there's been a time problem. It hasn't aged as well. And I think if I'd have been more of an adult in 92, I probably would have appreciated it more. I think it was well received at the time, critics and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it's some of it's aged weird. Part of it's like, I see Sam Jackson and I go, oh, it's like that in that movie, Captain Marvel, where they made him look younger again. Weird. You know, like, it's hard for me to separate those two. I really like Ann Archer. I haven't seen her forever, so that's cool to see her. I saw a credit for someone named James Fox, and I went, is that what Jamie Foxx's name
you
was?
Jamie Foxx too, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I thought it was like I couldn't remember when Living Color was, so I was like, is that before all that? And he didn't go by Jamie yet? And is he in this movie?
What I was thinking. That would have brought so much more attitude to this film, and this film Bodyguard needed or something. Attitude.
Yeah. There was no attitude.
Thora Birch again, by the way.
Yeah, Thora Birch, she's all over our film sack lately.
Yeah,
that's her deal.
For some reason, wild.
I just want to come back to what Dunaway just said, that the film didn't have a vision, because I totally agree with it. And I was trying to imagine, so my question here is, why do I think The Sum of All Fears is such a better movie? Mm-hmm. Especially when it doesn't star Harrison Ford anymore, right? He kind of aged out. And the answer is, it has a vision, and that vision is stated by the characters or by the cinematography in a lot of cases. Right. You see, and I've said this before, there's this moment in Sum of All Fears where Jack Ryan goes to like Israel or something to get some intelligence, and he leaves Liev Schreiber standing on a rainy airport out in the rain, and Liev Schreiber he looks so freaking miserable.
Yeah.
You know, and like there's a story being told throughout this whole thing, and you get that that story from James Cromwell and from Morgan Freeman and Philip Baker Hall, and like, they tell you, the movie tells you what it's about. And this movie, Patriot Games, I'm like, is this really about some family being assaulted in their own home? Like, that's
pretty much
of a...
It's a revenge story, tit for tat kind of thing. And I guess it's a reflection of kind of how this, you know, how governments work. It's like tit for tat. Here's did we overstep our bounds? Blah. I don't know.
There was a moment. I wonder if you got this too, Dunaway, where Jack Ryan goes back to the agency after having been, you know, severed from them at some point in the past. He goes back, and the guy, I'm forgetting the guy that is his main liaison,
goatee dude,
that guy, he's just like, no, you can't come back. You don't belong here. I don't want you here. And I was like, oh, maybe that's the vision of the movie. The movie is about that you can't return to the thing that you know were that kind of crushed you and so on.
Yeah.
But then Darth Vader comes out and says, welcome home, basically, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah. Okay, so that's not the story there's even, telling. Okay.
There's even a scene I couldn't even figure out what they were trying to say. Like, he was getting, Harrison Ford was getting heated with by the way, the best goatee, just beautiful.
That goatee guy is a lord of goatees. Yeah. My gosh.
And then James Earl Jones is in an adjoining room for some reason and pops up and goes, hey, what's going on here? Why are y'all yelling? No. Okay, bye.
You were the process of telling him why he can't come back. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just such a weird moment.
That could have been the vision for the movie right there.
Right. Don't piss off James Earl Jones and then join offices. Yeah.
Yeah, never do that. Yeah. It's always good to
see. I did feel like they wanted, just for a moment, they kind of, what we all recognize now is kind of like the John Wick story. It's like they pulled me back in. They've made it personal.
Right.
I've got to get back in this. And there was a scene where he first walks back into the field office, you know, where he had been an analyst. And I was like, okay, I feel like I'm missing some things. Like, I haven't been close enough to the Jack Ryan character, especially not in this movie.
Sure. We should probably, we'll talk about this again, I think, on our bonus episode that'll go up next week, or not our bonus, but our discussion episode about action movies, because I feel like that script has been flipped lately. It's like, you mentioned John Wick, and John Wick style revenge films. It's like revenge films are as old as time. Like, we've had them forever.
Yeah.
But this is a new kind we do now. Right.
Right.
And so now we see stuff like that. And what was the Odenkirk movie? Nobody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Nobody. You see movies like that and you go, OK, awesome. New era of this stuff. When you go back to something like this where my family's in trouble or whatever, it doesn't hit as hard as it does now. Because it's a little more milquetoast. It's just like,
John Wick feels like as thinly guised as what we all feel like every day, which is underappreciated for our skills. And it's like, you always envision, oh man, if I got fired and I had to come back and save y'all's asses, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The best scene in the movie, for my money, actually demonstrates that. He's gone back to, he's teaching, he's a professor at the U.S. Naval Academy. And he's like teaching some students, and Samuel L. Jackson comes in and gives him a fake medal that makes fun of him.
Purple Target.
The Purple Target.
Like, okay, movie. Yeah. I see what you want me to think about these characters.
Yeah, that kind of cracked me up. I don't know. Like, there are moments like that where I was like, this is fun. This is a good, it's a good time. But then there were times where I was like, oh my gosh, get on with it, dude. Like, you guys. Yeah.
Man, Harrison Ford does a really good, professor impression. He did it well in Indiana Jones,
does a lot, right?
And he does it here, and it's just like, I'm buying it.
Yeah.
You know what he doesn't do? He What's does that? Not do a good impression of a lover in bed. Oh, my God.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I felt uncomfortable. I felt really uncomfortable with the champagne scene where she like orders room service and the champagne comes. I'm like, first of all, I'm like really tense. I'm like, oh no, don't take the champagne that you didn't order.
Yeah.
And then they make the love.
Just because we have a hard time seeing him with anybody but Princess Leia.
Maybe.
It's like when, if your parents get a divorce and you see them with other people, like, no, it's not the same.
I wonder if that was part of it. I mean, but then it also made me think, because of his tryst with Carrie Fisher off camera, right. Which we all know about now, that all I could picture was the way he was behaving here. I'm like, is that what he was like in real life? And was it?
I think Harrison Ford's
his moves?
Yeah, like those his sweet moves.
Yeah.
I think Harrison Ford's a very considerate lover. That's what I think. that's kind of boring. But I think,
I see him with Karen Allen, and he's grabbing her around the waist and then swinging like Tarzan with her, and like that's my vision for his lovemaking.
Yeah.
I never thought this would be the discussion.
I'm bummed because I wrote in my notes. Prediction: Scott will say that Harrison Ford kisses weird, and he's not wrong. But you never did say it, and so I was like really hoping I'd get to screenshot.
We all agree.
You know what it is?
Yeah.
All through that lovemaking scene in the first part of the movie, you look at their eyes, and what's her name? Ann Archer knows what to do with her eyes, and Harrison Ford does not. He's looking around like he's so uncomfortable.
Ann Archer's very good at being smoldering, right? She's very good at that.
She's awesome. I loved it. She had a real moment in the 90s, and I liked everything she did, and I don't know what she does these days, but she's just a great leading lady. I thought she was awesome. Mm-hmm. She's good in this. Was she in the next one, too? I guess she was in Clear and Present Danger, I think. She kept going. I think. Because you weren't wrong about the sequel baby, the pregnant or whatever you said in your song.
Yeah, the sequel baby,
Jack Ryan 2.
Yeah, that's a big part of that, if I remember right. Ah, it's been so long.
Yeah, and they do the ending really weird with this movie, with the whole like, all right, tell us the sex of the baby, and then it's just like a look at Harrison Ford's face and roll credits.
Yep.
I felt a little cheated that the baby didn't die. I felt like there wasn't enough reason for him to be raging. You know, because even Sean Bean comes on and goes, oh, I really effed your life up, didn't I? Yeah. Now your daughter's going to make it harder to fight off infections. It's like, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
That's your rage point. All right.
Yeah. That's funny.
Got to have something to fight for, man. And your daughter's spleen. Well, ooh. Yeah.
Well, the spleen's important. Look, you need your spleen. Yeah.
If they can take it out, do you really need it?
Well,
I don't know.
Of all the...
useless organs.
I say this as not an expert and not a doctor. None of us are. So someone's going to get a pipe out.
No, hell no.
You know what? Yeah. Dr. Tolbert will tell us, but I think you can live without your spleen these days. It may require some medication or something that you need, but
yeah.
I think you don't
need better
it.
To have it, but you know, it is kind of like having your gallbladder. It's just kind of useless. No, it concentrates acid and it helps digest fats and that kind of stuff. But you can live without it.
Yeah.
This movie had a bunch of characters, like not just the daughter, Thora Birch, but a bunch of characters where I just wanted a little tiny bit more exposition around that character. Like just because there's interesting actors. And I'm specifically talking about Samuel L. Jackson, James Earl Jones, Richard Harris actually got a lot of screen time, but I still wanted a little bit more explanation and like whatever's going on for him.
I love him.
Pauly Walker as the assassin. Of the group, like she's the right. She was.
She's the woman with the long hair that because of that, you know.
Yeah. All we know about her is that she's a competent assassin and she can lure a man into bed before killing him.
Yeah, she's got cleavage you can see from space.
Yep.
Is the only thing we know.
Yep.
Oh, yeah,
that's all.
And
we know.
I just felt like, man, they're really giving these characters just like a short shrift. They need more.
Alex Norton, Dennis Cooley, the bookkeeper.
Bookseller,
I wanted more of him and Sean Bean.
Sorry, Dennis.
it's such an awesome idea. And Tom Clancy's full of these in all his books. This awesome idea of this guy who is running a front out in public for arms purchasing. And his front is a bookstore. Yeah. And so he's got to sit there all day, every day, and actually sell books to strangers. It's like
he has two passions. Two passions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. And I hated they just killed him. They didn't really. I mean, they had a scene where he escapes, flies all the way to the camp.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then Sean Bean just shoots him.
Just
also,
shoots
by
him.
The way.
Yeah.
That's just weird. Yeah.
It's weird.
Sean Bean, they showed him so many times. I wanted to do a supercut of every time they showed Sean Bean shooting a gun and killing somebody off screen.
It was overused, but they did it a lot in this movie.
They did it a lot.
Yeah. I really like Sean Bean and everything. This is the first exposure I ever had to him back in those days.
Yeah.
I remember seeing this going, this guy, he's going places. Right? And I think this is even, is this pre or post Goldeneye? It's pre Goldeneye, right? Yeah. Goldeneye came later, and that's where it cinched it. I was like, oh, okay, he's going to be in lots of stuff, and he's going to be a dick and everything. I was wrong about that. He's a nice guy in lots of stuff. Still dies a lot, but
he still always dies.
But it's weird to think that we are nine. This movie comes out. We're 9 years away from his Boromir, and
Oh
wow,
Lord of the Rings, which doesn't seem right. That 92 to 2001 is that short.
Mm-hmm,
that's bananas. But I love him and his cool mullet and all that shit. Like, keep it up. Keep him alive at all costs. Protect him at all costs is what I'm saying.
If you could be intimidating on screen, and all I did it kind of on screen with the court case where he leans over out of the booth and he's talking to Harrison Ford. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was a good shot.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like
I totally knew where that anchor was going. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. He had a feeling. You just kind of knew.
He suspected.
Yeah. I don't know. How do you plan? There's no way he plans this. Okay. No, but his whole career has been a series of deaths that are gnarly in every possible way. They drop a satellite on him in Goldeneye.
Yeah, right.
He's drawn and quartered in that movie. I can't remember the name of. He has his head cut off in Game of Thrones. Like all of these, yeah. Spoiler, all of these things. I don't think he, do you think he goes into these readings and goes, oh shit, look at this page.
I think if you read the script, I think he finds the character more compelling if they meet an end. Maybe he never wants to be in a sequel. Maybe that's the thing.
I just love him so much though.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's great to see him.
I think his agent calls him up and says, I've got a great one for you. Yeah, you die in it, but you get a lot of screen time before you die.
Yeah, yeah.
And he got, I think he's in top three Lord of the Rings memes with the one does not simply walk into Mordor with his finger.
Yeah, the thing. Chef's kiss look thing almost.
Yeah,
who else? Where he's gawking at the ring itself.
Yeah, that one's
great.
Good too.
Yeah. It's great. He's just great. I just want to celebrate him forever, and I'm glad he was in this movie and all that.
We cannot mention Alan Armstrong if Randy didn't mention him earlier. I don't know if he did. Or Krull. We haven't seen him since Krull, right? Is that the last time we've seen him? Or we've seen him?
What?
Oh, we saw him in The Saint. He's the, he's the inspector back in England who says that Elizabeth Shue, she's gone and fallen in love with him.
Oh, he's in Van Helsing too. He's been here a lot.
Who is it again? What character or whatever?
Alan Armstrong.
I'm looking him up here.
A-L-U-N.
He's the main investigator in London.
Okay. The one that was kind of a pain in the ass. Not a pain in the ass, but it was just kind of, shit.
He's like, shit, they found our camera. little burstworm.
Yeah, he was pissed. I knew he looked familiar, but I didn't realize we'd seen him so much. That's crazy.
I've seen him tons of times, apparently.
Can't spell his first name, but...
Still with us, still around.
I've never seen anybody spell Alan, A-L-U-N, and I'm sure it's Alan or something, but I can't say that.
Okay. Yeah.
It feels like
something on the periodic table.
Yeah.
Still doing some stuff. He was in Breeders, which was recent, 2022. It's a series. I don't know what that was about. I like that guy.
He's good.
Breeders. I watched Breeders. It was a great show.
Is Breeders good?
I watch Breeders really every good. Day.
Yeah. It's,
you talked about this on the on TMS. I remember.
I have totally recommended it. Yeah, super super sweet show. Like even though it deals with some issues, a couple that's really trying to have a baby, they can't, so they are working on adopting. No. And it stars the two most positive people that you'll ever see in anything.
Yeah. And then I guess he's the.
Oh, it's Martin Freeman.
Yeah, Martin Freeman, Daisy Haggard. Yeah, they're great.
Oh, no, you know what I'm thinking of?
What are you thinking?
Are you watching something else?
Speaking of trying. Breeders, I also recommend to them. Oh, my God. They're a couple that already has children, and they are hateful. And
it's great. It's a really funny show. Opposite.
So the opposite. They're the most hateful people.
The least positive people. Yeah. It's funny because we...
It's the same.
Same, like, British TV series. And Tina and I made the mistake of watching them either, not really back-to-back, but kind of... Right. We watched them concurrently because they were coming out with new episodes every week.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, Daisy Haggard, I mean, she, I don't know what is, she is so damn compelling to watch. Yeah. She's just so great.
She's great. Yeah. I like her a lot. Yeah. I wrote that on a list of things to watch and still haven't watched it.
Breeders, and then the other one is Trying. So watch them and you'll find one is like the polar opposite show.
Just watch both.
It's just funny that I conflated the two.
Oh, I love this. Check this out. This is, I didn't realize this. Yeah. During the shooting of the climactic fight scene between Ryan and Miller on the boat, Harrison Ford accidentally injured Sean Bean by a blow to the boat hook, leaving a bleeding cut. The resulting scar was later used for Bean's title character in Sharp, 1993, and they enhanced it with makeup. So I guess he's got a big
You're welcome,
scar on that.
Says Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Right?
Now they both have a weird...
Major career, buddy.
Harrison Ford, famous for having a weird scar on his chin.
Yeah, he's got that scar. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a little check mark down there.
One of us.
I heard
one
he got that while he was using his whip against a lion in a train car as a child.
Right, yeah. No.
You know, Indiana, when they set up every single Indiana Jones thing in the space of 2 minutes.
It's the one part of that movie I don't like. It's the one part. Everything else about it.
But you get to see Phoenix there for a minute. Just I miss him.
No, listen. Yeah, I like he was great and everything. And his brother carries on. It's all good. Yeah, I'm just saying that's a dumb way to set your movie up. I hated it.
Basically, it's like you get the origin of why he doesn't like snakes, why he has a hat, why he has a whip, why he has a scar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of it.
all of finally, it. It's all answered.
Yeah. It doesn't explain why he doesn't kiss well.
If he would have been solid on that train, I think it would have capped everything.
He had to fell down and looked at a picture of his dad, yeah. John Connery.
He'd have seen a little Egyptian kid in one of the cars who says, bad dates, and then he just runs past them.
Exactly, yes.
Before we leave, Sean Bean, I just have a question. I just wrote down. This is a movie about some Northern Irish terrorists who are trying to capture, not necessarily kill. They want to capture the British Minister of State, right?
For Northern Ireland. Right. I think so. Right. Yeah.
Maybe 5 minutes of the movie is in Northern Ireland. Oh, like it does not really take place there.
No.
But you have Patrick Bergen, who's Irish. You have Richard Harris, who's Irish.
Yeah.
And they really kind of play that up. Sean Bean. Not Irish.
No.
Do we feel like he?
Oh, he's fine. I think he did okay.
As an American, I gotta say his Irish accent was spot on.
Yeah.
As an American,
more like it's less like an Australian playing an American. It's more like a Canadian playing an American, right?
Oh,
like
they're adjacent, right? They're close by.
Divide between Northern Ireland and Ireland.
I wonder if the time in 92, again, we're close enough to that conflict, if some people were mad they hired a British guy to be in
it. That's interesting. I kind of thought about that, too, because, they handled this very carefully because that was a real flame spot.
Oh, yeah, big time. That's some rough business. I still say the best portrayal entertainment-wise of that time is Derry Girls. I just love the way they handle all of it.
Yeah.
Have you seen the movie Belfast though? Right.
I still haven't seen Belfast. I hear it's great.
Oscar winner from a couple years ago. It's great.
The black
it feels like
black and white thing.
There's like the black and white. It's like there. It feels like there's sets that they used in that they built for this that they built for Patriot Games, even though they didn't. But it just feels like it's
right. I need to finally see that. I don't know why I'm. I no reason. I just haven't. I just never get. It's like Parasite. It's like, well, it'll be there. I'll get to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to push you to watch Belfast, so feel free to watch it.
Should I watch The Irishman just because we're talking about Irish stuff? Is that
no.
Give me the miniseries that the Martin Scorsese 4-hour miniseries.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. Should I watch that?
The Scorsese. I needed to pee 3 times during that film. Movie.
Exactly. That's a movie that I want to watch, but I'm like, when the hell am I going to be able to sit down for 4 hours?
Well, don't go in expecting
so
any Irish.
Like
don't expect any Irish shit. By the way, it's got nothing to do with Ireland at all.
Oh, it doesn't.
Nothing. No, it's a mob story about Jimmy Hoffa and who killed him and all that. It's nothing about.
Okay.
I think it's my least favorite Scorsese film.
Really?
That's hilarious.
Oh, I like it more than that.
I don't really have a Scorsese film that I don't like. But
what's his new thing he's doing? He's doing something new.
Oh, his new one sounds great. I've heard nothing but killer stuff about the new one. Something of the Monkey Moon or something. What is it?
Killers of the Flower Moon.
That's it.
Okay. Monkey Moon.
No, I want there to be monkeys. Dang it.
I know. I want it to be like the Umbrella Academy. Come on.
Yeah. He's. This sounds like, from all accounts, this might be his one of his best ever, maybe his last. Wow. He's getting close to being done.
I'm just saying, you still have time. You have it's not coming out till October. You have time to read the book. It's a David Gran book.
It's good.
Okay.
You'd like
Killers
it?
Of the Flower Moon.
I really want to read this book about Patriot Games because I feel like there's some really good stuff there that just never had a chance to be explored. And the fact that Tom Clancy hated this tells me that the book's probably like
This is the movie that I'm literally derailing your pullback
to the Flower Moon for just a moment,
just for a second, but I couldn't remember what the role was Jesse Plemons lost all his weight for. This was the one. Got all skinny for it. Here's the picture of him in it. I'll stick it in there. Anyway,
right.
Sorry,
this is what it looks like, podcast listeners.
Yeah, this is what life looks like.
Imagine Fat Damon, less Fat Damon.
Yeah, he's looking real thin. But I've heard nothing but screaming quality. Awesome.
He can play such an asshole. I love him.
It's funny because isn't this the first, like, his two big stars that Scorsese always seems to work with are DiCaprio and De Niro.
Yeah, and they're in it.
Is this the first time that they've shared the lead?
No. Actually, you know what? I was thinking of before was the Boston one,
The Departed.
Departed.
That was Nicholson.
Nicholson and DiCaprio. But I would say I think you might be right.
I'm gonna go plausible.
I think you're right. I actually think you're right. John Lithgow's in this. That's cool. Oh man, Brendan Fraser right off of his.
His deal. He's hot right now. Yep. Hot.
Do you think they put him in another fat suit?
Question.
Yeah.
We got 3 movies. that they've been
really?
In
together. Oh, really? Where the two of them are together?
Right. So This Boy's Life, which Leonardo DiCaprio is the boy, stars Robert De Niro.
Oh, right.
In 1993. Okay.
Yep.
Marvin's Room in 1996 has DiCaprio and De Niro. And
did
then,
you see Marv in the face?
Well, you were right in that
they made a short film together in 2015 called The Audition.
Okay.
But This Boy's Life is the only one of those that's Scorsese.
Yeah, you're saying Scorsese film, right?
I'm saying Scorsese film.
Yeah, I think this might be it.
But I'm still surprised that they have done other things together.
Oh my gosh, Brian, look who's in this. Sturgill Simpson is in this.
Get out, really?
That's cool.
And not just like as an actor, huh?
Are you still talking about Killers of the
Flower Moon? No, he is an actor in it. He plays somebody called Henry Grammer.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so not just as a contributing music. He might probably even still be contributing music, but as an actor.
Yeah.
Cool.
The reason we're so excited about Killers of the Flower Moon is that it has Brendan Fraser.
He's in a fat suit, and it's great. Just kidding, he's not
It's called a weight enhancement costume.
Oh, sorry.
No. He that was his thing during his whole press tour thing after doing The Whale. He would stop any interviewer that called it a fat suit and say it wasn't a fat suit. We don't want to call, don't want to make it seem like we're making fun of fat people. So it's a weight enhancement costume.
Now I feel offended.
As someone who wears costumes, I'm right. really offended.
I'm really mad. I'm really now. Offended. Yeah. Wow. 9.5 out of 10 so far. All right. Anyway, back to,
wow, boy, this Patriots game has really started a lot of conversations.
It sure has.
Involved the Patriot game.
It sure has.
It's an amazing movie for that. It's a conversation starter.
Yeah. By the way, there's a line in here. The line, "There's never been a terrorist attack on American soil," was included in trailers for the movie. However, it was left out of the theatrical release because it sounded too much like an invitation or a dare, they said.
Right.
Never been one. Come on, bring it, bitches.
Yeah, bring it in. And then we got one not long after, not 9/11, but the one where they blew up
the other tower attack, right?
Yeah,
they blew up in the parking garage.
Yeah, not a bus. It was just a car, I guess, but up in the parking garage. That wouldn't be too far. But also, I would argue that, what was it, 95, the FBI federal building explosion, that was a domestic terrorist attack, but that's still a terrorist attack. A lot of people don't count it, but I do.
But I do.
I'm gonna make this hard stand. I'm gonna make this hard stand and say I think that was a terrorist attack.
Right. Interest you in another opinion?
Nope. What do you think grossed me out? You got any thoughts there?
Oh, it wasn't
Kissy Smaces?
Okay.
No, it was worse than that, I thought. Let's just say it was early-ish.
There's somebody's hands in somebody's mouth, aren't there?
That's always default, but that did not happen that I'm aware of, unless I missed it.
Hilarious.
I might have missed it.
The thought of having soup at Ann Archer's house and pulling out a huge long hair, because did she have some hair.
No, it was not that. Any other guesses? Anyone have any idea?
I'm trying to think of what happened in the beginning. There's not very much organic fluid going on.
I won't say beginning. It's early on, I'll say. It's not beginning, but early-ish. And I'll say it had to.
Is it face on the road or anything like that? Because there's a couple of faces on the.
No, that's fine. It's all fake. Who cares about that?
For my money, it's when he testifies in the trial in London. For some reason, every person in there wearing a wig, I just felt like, God, that must stink. I don't know why.
The whole place stinks. There's no air.
I realized they could just wear cologne, but I didn't feel like they did.
No. That doesn't make it better. Smelled.
Yeah.
Cologne or BO is not equal.
Cornstarch. No. That's what they do.
Musk.
I'll tell you.
Gross.
It was when the lady wearing a wig, she didn't have her red hair on, and she's with the higher up hair, freaking very hairy man. The guy about the condoms. You're not going to make me wear a rubber, are you? She licks that guy from
of course.
Leg to neck. And I was just like,
from lip to seam.
Damn, that was foul.
Stem to stern.
Yeah.
Totally foul.
I kind of forgot about that scene blocked it out.
I don't know why
I
didn't write that down, because I know at the time I thought, oh, this is going to gross Scott out.
Yeah, it got me real bad.
By the way,
I did not want to look away from the screen because I'm hubba.
Here's my note. Here's the note I wrote. I wrote gross, colon, licking that dude all the way up his hairy body is what I wrote.
I don't think I was actually able to look at it fully. I think I actually kind of looked away.
Did you turn away?
Really? All right.
All right. I don't blame you. It's bad.
Yeah. I remember going, oh, what are they doing here? Oh,
you're not going to make me wear a rubber, are you?
Yeah. Let me know when it's over.
Yeah. Somebody poke me when this is done.
I mean, what grossed me out was their poor playing of the game Monopoly.
That was English Monopoly.
Okay. What was it now?
You still have to have 4 houses on a property before you can put a hotel on it. And if you have 3 properties and one of them has a hotel, the other ones that have houses better have 4 houses each, and they didn't.
Nope.
I was busy tuning in later for the Game Boy action that was going on the front porch. So,
oh yeah, I know that. Yeah. That wasn't just a fat thing. Was almost 35XX.
No, that was almost as big as Thora Birchett herself. It was amazing.
What do you think she was playing? That I tried to make out the little sounds it was making. It was hard.
She's playing a game where there's a little plastic bag floating around being carried by the wind, and you have to control it.
Oh, that's a nice American Beauty reference. Yeah, I see what you did there.
Thank you very much. The only nice American Beauty reference.
Yeah. I just want to jump back to the Monopoly thing because it is in the list of goofs for Patriot Games.
Really?
On IMDb.
Oh, no way, really?
Also, yeah, there's a whole paragraph. You can just feel a board game geek sitting here typing out everything wrong.
My first complaint about the movie, although it was just me 2 minutes ago. Yeah.
They identified what was wrong with the board. Like someone typed out, you cannot build a hotel on the Strand with only 2 houses on the Trafalgar Square.
Everybody knows you don't play Monopoly by the Monopoly rules. Everybody's got house rules. Everybody knows that.
Every director, you know, says no one's ever going to pay attention to this. We're just going to,
2023 will never come about, and people will not be on the internet. It literally says here,
the rent for landing on Oxford Street with a hotel is $1,275, not $1,100.
Oh my lord! Wow.
That's the difference between the second edition and fourth edition. They changed it.
Actually, that leads into a thing I wanted to say real quick. I just put it in our Discord, but there's this trend of this happens with Tom Clancy books in general, but there's this trend of when you do reprints, you put whoever the most recent Jack Ryan is. And so this is Hunt for Red October, and John Krasinski's on the cover.
Yeah.
That's weird. It's weird to do that.
I thought, oh my God, are they rebooting Hunt for Red October with Krasinski now that he's played the character?
I definitely do not buy any paperback book that uses the movie covers for the books. I will not buy a book with a movie cover.
Not a fan.
That's not a movie cover. That's like a newly drawn. That's an illustration of.
Could be a movie poster. I'm not buying it.
Well, okay.
You don't want it.
I want a couple of hot guys painted in oil with long hair, you know.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the only kind of books I buy.
Now that means that, all right, they re-released it with Alec Baldwin on the cover. They re-released it with
Harrison Ford on the cover.
Wasn't there another guy who played Jack Ryan between?
Yeah, Ben Affleck.
Affleck, of course. Yeah, right.
And then wasn't there one?
Another TV show one.
Right.
Is what I'm thinking. Right?
Yeah, what was the, who was that?
I'm looking at Chris Pine.
Oh, that's right. Chris Pine for a hot second.
I'm sure the logarithms say this works, but it doesn't work for me.
You know what they should have done?
Logarithms.
If they could get Baldwin for the whole movie. Yeah. What they should have done is had him film the intro where he stops the attack outside Buckingham Palace. And then when he blacks out after being shot, he wakes up as Harrison Ford.
Oh, right. Wow. I like this.
That'd be the way to do it.
I like this. Yeah, or do it. Mission Impossible style. You just mask everybody, and then their new mask is who they are.
They rip off their mask. Yeah. I was Harrison Ford the whole time.
Yeah, I like that. And now I belong in a museum. Let's see. There's another little trope I found here that I don't know. You know, maybe Randy has an actual reference to this, but it's the mom and the kid can take down trained terrorists who have better equipment than they do in the dark.
But she can't drive for the shit. Anyway,
she just gives up so easily and runs right into that guardrail. Yeah. She could so easily turn left, right,
anything.
She would have not that accident. Like when they got to the hospital and everyone's like, "Is she okay?" And I'm like, "Why is no one yelling at the mom for that shit drive move she did?"
Exactly. Yeah.
Gosh dang, that was bad.
This is not a complaint, by the way, but I did notice. I couldn't help noticing that there were highway scenes and there were estate scenes that were clearly filmed in California. There was no doubt.
Hell yeah.
Like more than once in the background of a shot, I spotted a palm tree and they're supposed to be in Maryland.
Yeah.
It's like there was no doubt that all of the beach boats and rappelling scenes were filmed in California.
Yeah.
Absolutely no doubt.
Yeah. They didn't bother cutting any of that background out. It seemed like it was all just there. In fact, I assumed when the car chase scene, I was like, boy, this is crazy to do this in LA. This is nuts. And then my brain went, this isn't supposed to be in LA, Scott. Why do you think it's LA? Because it looks just like LA. That's why.
It looks like LA.
There were the main highway car chase looked like it was out of Matrix 3.
It did really.
Okay.
I was so annoyed too with the black van whipping in and out of traffic. I'm like, you can't do that. It's not how that works.
It's not how that works. When you take your black van through traffic, it's a different
experience. Not like that. It's stupid. Yeah. By the way, I posted the link to the original book covers and the movie reissue covers that ruined them on Ranker because apparently I'm not the only person who hates when they do this.
Wow.
Crap.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this. Wow.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
If you're a listener, ranker.com, look for original book covers and the movie reissue covers that ruin them.
Yeah, Cloud Atlas is pretty bad. Let's see here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That font for Cloud Atlas on the original is really cool.
Yeah. Well, they ruined The Hobbit. The Hobbit was such a good old cover. Now they got... Yeah.
They did that thing
with The Great Gatsby, that picture, the blue face with the tear. They actually put that into the movie as a mural that they drive by on a wall.
It's such a great cover too. And then they replaced it with DiCaprio, which a gold inlay stuff.
Yeah. Dumb. I mean, it's fine for a movie poster. I just don't like that book change. And when they write on these, every single one of these has now a major motion picture.
Oh, yeah. I hate that crap.
Yeah. I don't like it either. I don't like it either. Boy, that iRobot one's kind of sad. I don't like that.
Yeah.
No, it's really bad.
Will Smith coming out of a big giant eye.
That the first one still isn't a very good book cover, but
it's not great. It's just a robot stiffly standing there, right?
Yeah. Well, it feels like he's off kilter too, like he's gonna fall over. I don't like it.
I don't think I don't have too much complaints for the one that's the Cormac McCarthy's The Road, because that has nothing on the cover, it's just a black cover.
Yeah.
And now this one has people in it.
I miss my black cover. I can't believe y'all put something on it.
That Cormac McCarthy voice that's been workshopping. That's pretty good.
That's much bullshit.
It's interesting that they kept the hands with the writing on it for the extremely loud and incredibly close.
Oh, yeah. That's weird, right? Yeah. Now a major motion picture, Brian.
What? Now a major motion picture. Sweet.
What else? I don't know. That's all the notes I have. Do you guys have anything else for this thing?
God, let's see here. Staying late at the CIA while your family is in the hospital means that the new goldfish are also going to die.
Yes.
Blade Runner photo system, his zoom and enhance. Just like what he does in Blade Runner when he's looking for Roy Batty.
It's so funny because now we're getting to a place where AI is actually making it possible. And we've always rolled our eyes at the thought. It's like, that's so stupid.
No, but I love it. I love this because new movies are going to do it. It will be realistically done and it will be literally possible. And we won't be able to complain about it anymore.
But it did remind me a lot of any time they represented research, like movies at a certain time, the technology for researching stuff was people looking at microfiche and microfilm. And this kind of had that with the microscope. It's like, oh, we got to get our microscopes out. Looking at this. Cameron, look at this. Looking at it.
It's fun to do.
This means that when they do it in the movies now, in the future, it's going to be, all right, zoom in and hence. There's our killer. Go get that guy. He's got 11 fingers on one hand. He should be really easy to find.
Yeah.
True story.
Not a problem.
So we're a ways away. Mm-hmm. We're a ways away.
So you're hitting a piece of trivia that if I was Scott, I would put scrutiny on. I don't know.
Oh, let's play it. Let's do it anyway. Why not?
Scrutiny.
All right.
The scene in which Jack Ryan zooms in on and moves around to different parts of a satellite photograph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone claims was made to be like an homage to Blade Runner.
Oh, they really did?
Okay. So they intended to.
Oh, wild. Yeah. Because it felt like it. That wouldn't surprise me.
Even right down to the little square, and then the square goes bigger, and then a new little square.
The way they crop is weird, though, because it was like a lower L shape right. and then a right. higher
first
shape.
First you do two sides and then you do the other two sides.
That was weird. Yeah. But then I was thinking, oh, this is 92. I got a 386. I'm playing Doom on it. Or no, I'm playing Wolfenstein.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. Speaking of, there was Doonesbury reference. It was like, one understands what that's about in 2023.
Doonesbury cartoon. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe. It feels like there's definitely a gap, though, right? Like, I think some Gen Xers on the lower end side maybe remember Doonesbury pretty well. But
In 92, we got it. In 2023, rewatching this on Paramount Plus by a young person, probably.
No, if you're 25 and you hear Doonesbury.
That's a comic strip.
Yeah, right.
I had to think a little bit to conjure up, you know, Bill the Cat.
There Bill you go. Ack. Yeah. And also. Ack. Sean Bean's character, can you do that in a prison cell? Can you just get the local paper with the crime that you were convicted of and put that on your wall? I don't think so.
You can turn that into a shiv or something.
Can you? Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
You're probably more likely to turn that into toilet paper.
That's a good point.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. But even just like, I don't know. It also looked like freshly printed on white. It didn't look like a real newspaper. Something about it bugged me.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. So maybe it disintegrates. It's like, the prisoner's not going to use this to get out of here. In 5 minutes, this will self-destruct or some bullshit like that. Anybody else got anything big?
I wrote down dusk vision goggles because they don't work. You can use them at dusk. You don't have to use them at night.
Right.
Just dusk vision.
Right. But they're always such a great thing when the lights come on. Then the guy's blinded. That's right.
And of course, that's the connection.
Oh, yeah. And of course, I always try to overthink everything. And I was trying to figure out what the surgery for the eye surgery, that scene that was going on with the wife. And I was comparing this to the surgical strikes, everything. I was like, shut up, Brian.
Yeah.
And I put in my notes, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah. Cause you think rain means something in Minority Report. Right.
It is a theme. Well, what is the theme? It was why this theme? Mm-hmm. Why not eating chocolate?
Yeah.
Whatever.
She was very different than the eye doctor who did my surgeries in my eyes when I had the early cataracts removed. He played Stairway to Heaven the whole time.
Nice.
And didn't say a word.
Am I going to die, sir?
Yeah. It was just Stairway to Heaven and him being quiet. And then 8 minutes later, my eye was weird. Yeah.
When I had surgery to repair my compound fracture in my right arm, I remember the anesthesiologist came in and said, hey, we're going to put on some music. And the surgeon will do whatever he wants once you're asleep, but until you're 2 years asleep, you can pick. And I'm like,
yeah,
I'm in severe pain. Just put on something. And he put on Garth Brooks and the song, like it stuck with me, you know,
I've been friends with low play or what?
It was more like the song. Well, what's the song?
I don't know.
The Dance.
Thunder Rolls.
That's right.
Thunder Rolls would have been fun. That would have been good program stuff.
That was good. Like when the rain was coming down, everything was so convenient in this movie.
Yeah.
There should be a rainstorm right now. Oh, Harrison Ford's character should be walking by as a terrorist attack is happening. There's a lot of...
Patty O'Neill is so conveniently local to Jack Ryan, where he lives in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't have to go all the way to Boston to meet with Patty O'Neill.
Patty O'Neill.
And I was also having trouble in this movie. I wrote this down just because I was like trying to figure it out. It's like, I'm having a little trouble feeling for Ann Archer when Sean Bean is chasing her on the highway in his little black van when she's driving away in her Porsche.
Yeah.
And I was like, plus they live in a freaking mansion. It was really hard for me.
Annoyed that this position in government affords them so much, is what you're saying.
Yeah. It was just like
government work shouldn't pay so much, is what you're saying.
He doesn't get them. Obviously, she's the big money. She's the big money person, right?
Because she's the doctor, right?
Yeah, she's the doctor doing that surgery room. Holy, that was a big surgery room. Was that it?
Yeah,
that
it was.
Theater. That.
Yeah.
Surgical theater that was in there. That
you got to get your eyeballs done. You got to go into the big one, the big room. Hell yeah.
I have one last trope that I wrote down.
Oh, let's push that button.
It's a brick joke. Did anybody notice the brick joke in this movie?
Brick from the movie Brick or a brick?
A brick joke is when you have somebody in the first frame dropping a brick off the top of a very tall building and then you forget about it. And then way later, the brick smashes into something. And
What happened?
That's funny.
I missed that.
Beginning of the movie, Harrison Ford is talking on the phone to the housekeeper. And it's like, we forgot the fish. No, we forgot the fish.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, Ibbot talks about that. You know what? Maybe just go get some other fish.
And there was payoff there. But then
the girl said, wow, you got big.
Yeah. But I think Ibbot's point is correct about all the other things that ended up happening. It just meant you got to go get more fish, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they might as well just get a frequent goldfish card at the pet store. You've got 9, one more, and your 10th one's free.
I love that idea that families go through so many fish the kid never knows, and they got to be on a plan. That's really good.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Really love the scene where they're kind of where Harrison Ford has done everything that is in his abilities to control, and he's got to wait. And then he reads the Seuss book that's all about, you know, being inside, raining and waiting. I loved that parallel. That was probably I was most charmed by that scene, how they filmed that. That was actually
it was all right.
Really, heart.
It was all
right. I really appreciate that this movie made Maryland look nice, because there's only two kinds of film or TV shows in Maryland. Yeah, they either make Maryland look like the hell on earth, or a really kind of nice place to be.
Yeah. I could see
it. It looked nice.
I could totally see that. All right. Well,
in the final scene, just one last thing. Final scene, we don't find out what the baby sex is. Nope. I was kind of annoyed.
Yep.
And it kind of wasn't important. But it's not important at all. That I was annoyed by it.
Well, you're annoyed because it made it seem like it was supposed to be important and then left you hanging. Yeah. And that's why it seemed important. Yeah. And that sucks. We got yanked around for that.
We did. Yeah.
Exactly. Don't like it. I know a lot of movies do this, right? They have this weird little hang at the end. Yes. And then you're done, and then for the sequel. But
you got to be careful doing that these days, because you could have a movie that's a total clunker, and you're never going to get a sequel. So you're setting up your audience to like, can't wait to find out, and they never do.
Yeah, are we gonna? And maybe we'll watch Clear and Present Danger, and we'll go, wait, where's the follow through? Where's the
right?
Like, does
if that
pick
movie
up?
Does not open with the first line being "It's a boy."
You know, the doctor pulling the baby out, this going, "Here's a boy."
No, this is what they need to do. They need to pop in on his face exactly where he was before, after he asked, and then have blue starchy powder blow right in his face, just like
nice,
like just got the gender reveal. That would be amazing. I don't think they do. I would have remembered that. All right, let's get to some clips. We have clips for this film, and they're fine clips. Okay.
Fine clips.
Let's start with the goldfish deal.
And listen, we completely forgot about Sally's goldfish. If by some miracle they're still alive, we feed them and change the water.
Mom will make my move, honey.
My move in the Monopoly?
My mom will make my move.
There's no move. I mean, there's a move, but
he has to roll his dice. What, is she going to roll for him too? Oh, this movie sucks.
Why are you even playing that game? Jeez, Louise.
In his defense, Monopoly is a really long game. You can't expect me to be engaged that long.
It's partly why I hate it. Partly.
Yeah.
Here's this thing where I have a question about what's this music. So here.
Come on, let's go.
It's just so, every time they showed Irish stuff, it was like.
Horner did this. And at the beginning, it's a really interesting. I want to go back and listen some more. It's really interesting, the musical choices he made.
I would listen to it outside of the film as well, just to kind of see,
it's really close to breaking news music.
This just in.
This just in.
Tyra's trying to kill
games.
All right, something about tearing someone's heart out.
I'd tear your heart out and serve it up to you with chips if I didn't know you'd enjoy it, you Fenian bastard.
He's great, dude.
By the way, the chips are potatoes.
The potatoes.
Not the chips you serve. Those are crisps.
That's right. We don't put ketchup on our chips or our crisps. Here's a... Oh, I don't know what this is. Here it is.
Talk to him and hold your temper.
The Irish, every time they were all hanging around skeeving, it was just like,
listen here. You don't know what you're getting into there, Patio Manuel.
I want to go to that bar.
Patio Manual. That's my new name.
Great.
Patio Manual. Patio Furniture.
The rubber guy, just worth playing again.
Ah, you're not going to make me wear a rubber, are you?
Yeah, you're about to die there, buddy. You're not going to wear it. You're going to be out in a rubber bag. So enjoy that. Not even. Your Doonesbury reference.
Not even Doonesbury.
Doonesbury.
Not even Doonesbury.
Not even Doonesbury. Dad. Here's a Harrison Ford.
That comic strip belongs in a museum.
I'm pretty sure Harrison Ford did a toot, and here's my proof. Okay, so enjoy this.
I doubt very much whether anyone in this courtroom would disagree.
Excuse me.
Oh, see? You heard it.
Wow. I heard it now.
Yeah.
I love it.
If you really, it's hard. When you're watching visually, sometimes you miss it, right? So you have to go back and isolate
it. Yeah, for sure.
Here's Darth Vader, his first line.
Morning, Jack.
Morning, Jack. Yeah.
Morning, Jack. It always sounds like you're being sarcastic when somebody's name is Jack. Morning, Jack.
Yeah. It's surprising today that we're not going to do Star Wars connections instead of Star Trek because...
You're right,
because
there's so many. Is it just because it's too easy?
I think so. Yeah, Star Trek connections, too.
It's so weird, though. And then, you know what's weird? In 92 and 94, when he's being Jack Ryan, I never once in that theater went, oh, this is great, the Han Solo and Darth Vader hanging out.
Yeah.
It never occurred to me then.
No. And you didn't even think about Mace Windu. Nope. Didn't even think about it.
What's wrong with me? Well, Mace Windu didn't exist yet, but...
That's right.
Okay. Oh, here's that fake award.
We recognize Professor John Patrick Ryan with the Order of the Purple Target.
So funny.
What's on your medal?
Right. Like a purple target.
Nice. Harrison Ford looking for Sean Milker? Anyway, here it is.
Where's Sean Miller?
Oh, Miller. I wrote Milker.
Yeah. Where's Sean? I love it when a film, when they just get the actor's name's the same as the character.
Yeah. Also, it's his get off my plane voice.
Where's Sean Miller?
It's that.
Get, get off my plane, Sean Miller.
Give me back my son.
Yep. He's always doing that. The most Irish name in the movie?
Jimmy O'Riordan.
Jimmy O'Riordan.
Jimmy O'Riordan.
I'm Jimmy O'Riordan. Most dramatic toilet flush of all time. Check this out.
Excuse me.
Why was that like that? Why was
one of us is in the wrong toilet room.
One of us took a shit in the ladies' room. Get out of here.
I don't think you're supposed to be in here, sir.
Now, you know how the prom clips I get from Ibbot's mom are almost always during prom or just after prom.
Sure,
it's rarely like ahead of time when you're in the planning phase, you know?
Mm. Oh,
well,
yeah, right.
She sent me this one. This is her, or this is Brian during the planning phase about who he wants to go to prom with him, like who he's aiming for. Yeah. And this is what you said.
Long red hair. This is who we should be looking for.
Yeah, you knew.
Yeah, I'm not wasting my money on a promposal. she better have long red hair.
Right. She better have long.
How cool is it that we got multiple instances of the Harrison Ford pointer finger? Like,
He
gets his finger up and points at people many times.
Oh, yeah. I love that because that's his shut up.
He does it a lot. He does it in everything.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. But when he did it, he kind of, the one when he was in the hospital, he's still pissed about his kid and Jimmy O'Riordan or whatever his name is. Richard Harris is there.
Yeah.
And he's trying to, we just want you to know we feel bad about all of it. Blah, blah, blah. And he says,
yes.
He just turns and goes with that finger. And
he does the finger. That's the best one. I was hoping you'd have a gift of that one.
Yeah, it's a great one. I'm almost dead because I was like a perfect reaction gift. But it's also, it reminded me of Endgame for some reason of when Doctor Strange is like, we got one option.
Oh,
Here's my finger. One option.
By the way, we're getting Harrison Ford, our new Thunderbolt Ross.
Oh, that's right.
MCU.
That's right. Are they going to do any explaining away of why he looks so different than John Hurt? Or are they? Or
do they ever?
William Hurt, rather.
The only time that's ever acknowledged that I can think of is Roseanne, where they switched Beckys and they made some joke about the new Becky.
I love it.
You switched the Beckys on me.
Here's some. I thought these were bad Irish accents, but I think some of these people were Irish, so I'm not sure where my head is on this, but here it is.
It doesn't matter. The trip served its purpose.
It does matter.
It does matter. It doesn't matter.
It does. It does matter.
But my blue, yellow rainbows aren't in the bowl.
Anyway. Here is the great late Richard Harris.
It's been since you've had a bowl of Lucky Charms, Scott.
Oh, man. Long time. What'd they have in there? Blue clovers? No. Green clovers? Blue
purple
diamonds?
Rainbows. Oh, purple clovers. Sorry, that's right. Yellow moons, pink hearts.
Pink hearts.
Blue diamonds.
Blue
green
diamonds,
clovers.
Green clovers. What else is there?
Yellow. We had red balloons for a while.
Unicorns
red balloons.
Or rainbows. Did you say that already?
I don't freaking remember. I should know this because I got that box that time that had nothing but the marshmallows in it.
Yeah. Oops, all marshmallows.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Oops, you did it again.
Here's your late Richard Harris doing some stuff.
But the day that I sell out my countrymen will be the day that I put a bullet through my own head.
Do you think he had any idea how cool his son Richard or Jared Harris would be? Because his
I think he did. I think he lived long enough to see Jared Harris.
Jared Harris really rocks. Something. My gosh, I'll see anything with him in it. Even that horrible, well, pandemic is partly to blame, but that Foundation thing on Apple TV Plus should have been better.
Right.
But I loved it for him in it. So good.
Yeah, Chernobyl was great.
Any guess on whether or not we've seen some Richard Harris movies on FilmSack before?
At least one.
Is this the first one?
Is it Richard Harris. Didn't we do Richard Unforgiven?
Harris, Richard Harris.
We done Unforgiven? No.
Oh, wait, Richard Harris?
Yeah, Richard Harris. did we not? We didn't do Unforgiven yet? I just saw that.
No, we have not done Unforgiven yet.
I saw it with you guys. I guess I saw it on my own. That's a great movie. I'd watch it again with you guys. I love it.
It's also our first Thor Birch, our first Ann Archer.
Not our first Thor Birch, is it?
Yep.
Is it? I thought we did.
We just did Thor.
Didn't we just do Thor Birch?
No, I was wondering why you kept bringing up Thor Birch. We didn't see her, like, looking back. Hollow Man, Mission Impossible, Blood Simple, Cocaine Bear.
You
mentioned we were on a Thor Birch kick. I think you just watched, what's that comic book movie she did with Scarlett Johansson?
What was that called?
It was really good, but
shit,
I can't remember the damn name of it.
I just think of her in Ghost World mostly. That's where my head
Ghost
goes.
World, that's it. That's
is that the one?
That's the one. That's okay. The one.
That's the you're right. That is totally the one. Holy, yes, how is that?
That's it, Scott. That's the.
How is that 22 years old? Jeez.
Wow.
That's crazy. All right. Well,
while I'm looking at the numbers, this was our 8th Samuel L. Jackson movie. He's our leader. Our 7th for Sean Bean, Harrison Ford, and Sam Raimi.
I know what I was thinking of.
I just realized. Yeah. Right, Dungeons and Dragons
from 2000. You guys were involved with that.
You watched
that's
that.
That's the reason why I just did that.
And you put it up in FilmSack as a bonus and all. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done. Well done. She's in that new Gabby Petito story thing about that girl that died here in Utah while she was on the road or whatever.
Directed it too, didn't she?
She directed it? Oh, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Let me see. TV movie. Oh, Thora Birch directed and also a character. Wow.
The Gabby Petito story.
Huh? On Lifetime.
I guess I better re-up it.
I don't have that deal.
Is there a Lifetime app that you can?
I don't know. But to find out,
that story ripped our whole local news cycle to pieces. Sure, yeah. It was really something. All right, zoom and enhance. Here's his way of saying zoom and enhance. Okay, so here you go.
Tighten up on that wheel. Can you enhance that? Sharpen it up.
It's like saying the same thing in different words. I love it.
Yeah.
Can you get it's
closer to
date.
That and make it sharper?
Right. I want to see that cleavage very clearly.
Right.
Yeah.
I love when he says tits. Yep. I didn't even hear it. I had to put the closed caption on, but he says tits.
Oh, really?
Tits.
Yeah.
Tits.
I did not pick that up. Wow. Yeah.
No, he says it so quietly.
I think that's why Dunaway kept saying tit for tat earlier over and over.
Yeah.
Oh.
We had more tit for tat per capita.
This
today,
is my rule.
Yeah.
If the movie says it, I'm allowed to say it in the show.
Yeah, you are.
Oh, yeah.
That's the rule. Yeah. Sure. So someone says the N-word really loud. You're allowed to say that on the show.
That's the reason why we can't watch
We cannot watch Django Unchained. Sorry.
Sorry, everybody.
That's why we can't watch those. That's why.
Oh, the stories about that. There's such great stories about this on set where DiCaprio was like really struggling.
Yes.
He did not want to say it. He hated it. And they were like, well, it's a movie. It's this. And Sam Jackson is the one that like grabbed him, shook him a little, and went, "Listen, man, you just gotta let her, you know, something." I can't remember what
you're
it was. There's some really cool trivia about that. Somewhere there's some. Oh, this is Jamie Foxx that was telling the story. It's really fascinating.
You're right. Yep.
Say that word one more time. Yep. I dare you.
I love that movie. All right, here is what? What do you mean? What do you do? Okay.
What do you mean? What do you do?
Oh, it's literally him saying that.
Yeah.
Oh
mean?
My God, that
what
needs to be put to music. And we need a Gregory Brothers cut of that. Over
what do you mean?
And
what do you do?
Again.
What do you mean? What do you do? It's got rhythm.
It totally does. Yeah. What do you mean? What do you do? What do you mean?
What do you do? Somebody get on that out there. All right.
Yeah.
One of you are smart.
I already spent 3 hours editing background vocals.
I'm
not doing it.
Here are the cartoony Brits.
Jeffrey, let's check with John Ryan about scheduling a presentation dinner at our embassy in Washington on the 14th. The 14th.
Such a joke.
I love it.
Jeffrey.
Schedule it. All right. Sorry, Dennis.
Sorry, Dennis.
Oh, it's right before Dennis got killed.
Yeah, right before he gets shot. Because he can't fire a gun at Dennis.
Yeah. If I was Dennis, if he knew what he knows now, you just turn around and shoot those guys, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Sorry, Dennis. Here's Jeffrey getting shot, and it made me laugh. Yeah.
Well, it hurts so much. Yeah. It hurts.
It would hurt. Kneecap shot, dude. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You'll never walk the same. I don't care what surgery they do.
Oh, God, yeah.
You're done. Jeez, Jack Ryan. You really jacked up his knee, you know? Yeah. All right, final sound on this is actually a sound. It's not voices. It's just those stock silent gun noises. Check them out. Whoa.
Yeah.
Did they hear that? Everyone used those.
Totally. That's the silencer sound too, right?
Yep.
With a tiny little amount of phaser built in. Like just a little
bit. a little phaser.
Laser.
Oh, I wonder if that was on purpose.
Got his blaster out, right?
Yeah.
Who shot first? We know now.
Phasers on silent.
He was tired of that conversation anyway and then shot the console. Mm-hmm. All right. It's time for this.
Scroop.
Nope, not that.
Scroop.
It's time for the film sack checklist. Air Force One, but in a house, check.
Mm-hmm.
Never trust Jeffrey, check. Never. And finally, night vision is for losers, check. Lame. Aww. Super lame. It's probably so expensive too.
This movie, like they're using night vision indoors, and there's a roaring fire in the fireplace, and they look at it, and it's like it barely registers.
Yeah, it was dumb. Mm-hmm. And then lights being flicked on in a room suddenly made him the most blind he's ever been. That was dumb. Very dumb. That's why Tom Clancy balked. He was like, I know how this shit works, and that ain't how it works, says Tom Clancy. Star Trek connections. Let's get to it. I got to think there's at least a couple, right?
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch. I'm going to run through three really minor ones, and then we can talk about the best connection in the movie. So Bob Gunton played interviewer in this movie. He was in an episode of TNG. Fritz Sperberg played Spiva in this movie. He was in an episode of DS9 and an episode of Voyager. Sean Duke played Pharaoh in this movie and was also in an episode of TNG.
That second guy, by the way, a real lateral name move. Didn't really.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. It's like Spivey to Spivord or whatever. It's kind of
Sperberg. Like, just as weird. Didn't make it better. Didn't make it worse. No. But yeah.
Yeah. May as well just gone with your name. But anyway. All right.
The absolute grab you by the attention cast member in this movie from Star Trek The Next Generation is Ellen Geer. In these movies, she plays Rose, the point of contact for Jack Ryan back at the agency. Older woman. Just like made me sit up straight when I saw her and heard her.
This is why it's so familiar.
In the Star Trek The Next Generation episode Silicon Avatar, she is the mother of a scientist who was killed by this entity in space. And she comes on the Enterprise ostensibly to observe and analyze the entity, when actually her mission is to kill the Silicon Avatar entity, and she does. She ends up blowing it up, and then everyone on the Enterprise is shocked.
Wow.
Shocked, I say.
I remember Ellen, that. Yeah. She did look very familiar to me.
Yeah. She was also in The Postman. She was like a old woman in a town in The Postman.
We got to get to that.
We have to watch it so I can finally see it.
Yes.
I knew I wouldn't. I'm avoiding watching it because I know we'll eventually watch it for film.
Brian, all you got to do is set aside 3.5 hours of your life. Okay.
Oh,
is
that right. All?
No, I don't remember how long it is. It's pretty long, though, but we should see this theatrical for sure. There's a much longer cut. We don't want to do that. It's too big. I like The Postman.
It still doesn't come close to all the complications of the book.
It's no,
one
not
of those
even.
Where it's like, if you read the book and you watch the movie, you're getting very different experiences.
Yeah, but it's got that Tom Petty stunt casting. That's pretty fun.
Oh, love it. Love it.
Oh, cool.
A lot of people think that's in Waterworld. They're wrong. They have it backwards. It's in the other one. So take that, world. All right, moving on. Let's get to the soundtrack grade. I give it a B for bleh. It didn't work for me. Like Dunaway says, maybe it's worth checking into later. I really like Horner a lot, so there's no reason why I shouldn't like it, but it didn't work for me. I don't know why. So it could be a neat thing.
James Horner.
Spotty.
James Horner doesn't really come into his own until later. Like around, I don't know, The Mask of Zorro. I don't know.
I like that soundtrack. It was good. It was very,
he gets better later.
Yeah. I agree with that. A lot of these composers do, I find. It feels like the only guy that ever just sort of hit the road running was John Williams, really, you know?
Yeah.
You can't really name anything bad he did except for that alternate intro to Gilligan's Island back in the 60s. But you got to start somewhere, all right? You got to start somewhere.
Weird. Yeah.
Let's move on to the Twitter post. This is where you guys... You go, and it could be any social media thing. It doesn't have to be Twitter, okay? We just call it that. But you could hop onto Mastodon or somewhere, and in about 280 characters or less, you're going to sum this film up. And I think this week, we're going to just change it all up, switch all the pieces around, change the rules, and start with Randy.
And it's 250 this week. Patriot Games. Old Blighty vacationing puts your left arm in a sling. Immediately lost that thing. Game Boy on the front porch swing to the agency, as you do say, enhance for better view. OG Dumbledore spoke true. Han Solo hugged Mace Windu.
True story. All that's true. See, copy and paste. That's that into thing.
That's really good. Sorry, I was kind of blown away by it. Dunaway, your turn.
Patriot Games, like watching 2 hours of military satellite footage from a North African terrorist training camp and waiting to catch a glimpse of from space tit cleavage. Tit cleavage. It's hard to say. Tit cleavage.
Cleavage.
It's like the autocorrect is not working.
I wrote it, but I can't say it. Wow. Just fast forward to the good parts. You know you do. Yeah. Just go watch some porn.
Yeah.
Be a big perv.
Watch porn. Boy, I don't know if the TIT word has been said more on one show than today.
No.
You're welcome.
No. Lots of tit. No, a lot. Very little tat, by the way.
Yeah, we need to provide some tat.
Yeah, get some tat. Maybe Ibbot here in his Twitter post will give us some tat. Brian, take it away.
Patriot Games. The only thing this proves is that between cutting off Lord Holmes and family and running Porsches into guardrails, the Irish are really shitty drivers. Hashtag tat.
Good job.
Late edition. I like
bringing it.
Nicely done. All right. Well, as long as that's over with, we got this to do. This was had alternate titles, and the first title was almost called Tom Clancy's We've Been Here Before. Or Indiana Jones and the Slow Movie of Boredom. That was almost the thing.
That's great.
Yeah. It was a real close call, but they went with Patriot Games. Hey, I got a couple of emails to read from listeners, and we love doing these. It's a little bit of a feedback loop with you, the fine listeners. And if you'd like to, you can send them in to filmsack@gmail.com. Here's one from Pete. Who says, hello, gang. I don't think we get called gang a lot.
Gang. Yeah.
I like gang. Gang.
Yeah, I like it. Let's bring it back. Let's make it cool again.
Okay.
During the recent MI3 episode, the Mission Impossible 3 episode, there was a brief discussion of Microdots tech. Ibbot made a throwaway comment about thinking it was a drug reference. I had the same reaction while watching the movie. In my mid to late teens, early mid-1990s, Microdots were a specific kind of LSD. They'd come around only once a year or so, and they were rare and very potent. My friend and I took a handful took them a handful of times, not a handful of them.
A handful of times. Oh, my God.
Before I quit psychedelics altogether. And boy, howdy, Microdots blew some minds and opened up some universes for us punk teens in Connecticut. Anyway, just want to make sure Brian gets credit for what is due. Love the show. You guys are the best, Pete. So. Pete Best says, he says, you were right. Gentleman. You were right to think of the drug reference. I didn't know. I'd never even heard of it in that.
Yeah,
way,
that's that was my only connection. I mean, the only thing I thought of. I've never tried Microdots, but
yeah, I mean, it sounds like those. It makes sense, right? That those would be the intense acid pills or whatever that people would take.
Exactly. Yes. Curiously strong acid, I believe, is how they were initially marketed.
I like the idea that you could either take it.
Because they're coming out to Altoid
cans. Ah. Yeah.
You could either take it. And read it, and it's the baby, the dancing baby from the early 2000s. Or
from the Element Bill commercials.
Yeah, or you can swallow it, and you will see the dancing baby in your...
right, very good.
Yeah, well works both ways. Just Terry wrote in and said, Scott, Brian, and Randy, I'm sure you got a lot of emails, but Rambo dies at the end of Last Blood, Rambo 5. Okay.
Oh, okay. All right. So, well, thanks.
Spoiler. It's a little bit of a spoiler. Jeez. Is that not true, Randy? He doesn't die?
No, I think it's totally up in the air. I don't think we know.
Okay. I haven't seen 5, so right. I don't know.
Spoiler.
I saw 4, or the one they just called Rambo. Spoiled. I like the Rambo 2008 one. That's a cool movie. That movie's great. Let's do a text. Also here real quick from 304, which I think is an error message, right? Anyway, that's his name.
It's almost not found. Yeah.
He texted us at 801-471-0462 and said, I just listened to your heavy metal sack. That's a while ago.
Oh, wow.
You guys seem lukewarm on it. If you're looking for an awesome, very sackable Canadian cartoon, look no further than Rock and Rule. It's a movie. I've never heard of this. It says it's great, more or less, way better animation, more consistent, still lots of rotoscoping, but better. Thanks, 304. So you've seen this, Dibbit?
No, I've never seen it. I had the poster for it because it was so cool. It was like a similar situation, and I want to say there was a mouse in it that was based on Mick Jagger. It might be like the lead villain mouse kind of based on Mick Jagger. But I remember it being, isn't it the same animator?
Bakshi?
Is it,
maybe that one's Bakshi? Because remember I kept accidentally calling the other one Bakshi. Yeah, I think Rock and Roll is Bakshi. I'm looking at the poster now.
Now I'm interested. I love that crap. Super good. He rotoscoped everything. But
we definitely need to see this because this is one I don't know why I never saw it, but and it stars Brett Titcomb, which is one more.
Oh,
one
man. More
there you go. Yeah, just one more.
One more snuck in there.
I'm going to watch Total Recall tonight and get 3 more. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Anyway.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Very heavy metal looking, but it's got Cheap Trick, Debbie Harry, Lou Reed, Iggy Pop, Earth, Wind & Fire doing the music. Mm. And it looks like a rock and roll version of
heavy metal.
I guess like a more rock themed version of heavy metal instead of just featuring rock.
Streaming anywhere? Do we know? It's like a thing.
Let's take a look.
Because that's the trick, right? It's like, can we see it?
That kind of is the determining factor, isn't it?
Yeah, feels like. Let's see. I can't find it. It's not showing up for me in a search.
1983 Rock and Rule, not streaming or even rentable or purchasable anywhere. So this would have to be a DVDs, and people need to watch a crap version on YouTube or something.
Yeah. Or yeah, maybe YouTube's got it or something. I don't know. We'll think about it. But yeah, it doesn't sound like it. I mean, I bet in Canada it's easier to get. I don't know.
Probably. Yeah.
Like all their bad content.
I just want you to know.
Yeah.
I don't want this to be a debate because I think it's I just
want to state something and
I just loaded up. I just loaded up Rambo 5 and skipped to the very end. And the whole point of the ending is you don't know.
You're supposed to not really know if he dies.
Yeah. Rambo is injured for sure, but like usual, as he does.
Per usual.
But yeah. He sits in a rocking chair on the front porch of his house.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And there is a fade to black here. He is not, he's not telling you whether or not.
So it's Rambo like a died. Sopranos ending, basically.
Kind of. Yeah. Without the cool music attached to it, yeah. People always tell me 5 kind of sucks, so I haven't gone near it. But
like it is 5. An awesome action movie. Like 5. It's very gory.
Is it? Gory. Well, 2008 was pretty gory too, and that was the one Stallone wrote and directed. And that's the moment I went, "Why isn't he directing more?" I thought that was awesome. And then he kind of, you know, then we got what the Incredibles, the Untouchables. What are they? The Expendables. The
Expendables.
It's the first time he directed again, and it was like meh.
Meow.
Not as cool. All right. Thanks for those texts and emails, you guys. And of course, links to all that stuff so you can contact us is on the website, which is over at filmsack.com. Real quick patron mention. We got a brand new dude today. I assume it's a dude. I don't actually know, but they just go by DW. That could be Derek Walker or it could be Diane Wienersmith.
Darkwing Duck.
It could be Darkwing Duck.
Mini pop songs.
Yeah. Could be any of those things. Could be Dirty Wash Rag. I don't know.
Whoa!
Well, I don't know what
dirty wash rag you.
I don't want to make assumptions, but they joined us, and we're thrilled to have them
don't
with
you,
us.
Though?
You get no commercials on that feed, so you know you get pre-show content. You get monthly benefit shows that come from the hosts. That sounds like a charity. It's not. We do these shows on the monthly, and they're great. We really like those. You get movie-related art prints in the mail other cool stuff. So go check it out. It's over at patreon.com/filmsack and become a larger part of the FilmSack family today. Our next episode will be our hot action movie summer action movie special.
Ooh.
That's wow. I think what we should call it.
I think Hamzams. You just said Hamzams.
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 Yeah, we're doing a special. So we've got a little bit of travel and stuff going on this month. So as a result, we're doing one of our specials. And that way, we're not leaving without a show that week. But no movie to go brush up on, everybody, except, you know, just your love of action films, because it's going to be all about that. So check that out. That'll be next week. And then after that, I don't know what our movie is. Do we know what it is after that? It's
Underworld.
Underworld. I'm so excited to hear that. I love the first Underworld. The rest are poopy, but that first one is great. Great movie.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah. It's got
positive.
It's got that.
We're going to find out together.
It's got that dude. Everyone loves him. I can't think of his name. He's a vampire.
Everybody loves him. Nobody can remember his name, though.
Real memorable. Great.
It's Michael Sheen. There you go. British actor, Frost Phoenix in the Twilight movies. You know this guy. He's in a lot better stuff than that. But anyway, he's in it, and he's great in it. He plays a werewolf, and he's awesome. Anyway, that'll be after that, and I can't wait for that. That's very exciting. So, in the meantime, filmsack.com is the place to be. Patreon.com/filmsack, as I mentioned before. And leave us those reviews wherever you get your podcasts. It helps us out a lot. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
You sick son of a bitch.
We'll see you next time.
If you like what you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Sorry, Dennis.
Oh.
Dennis. So sorry, Dennis.
You know, I'll think about him a lot.